Welcome to the Unbreakable Mindset Podcast, your burst of weekly inspiration to keep your mindset on track to manifest your greatest desires. I am Jude Dawn, your host, a world-renowned mindset coach, helping my clients and now you, the listener, to break free of the mental struggle, find contentment, meaning, and purpose in your life. Welcome back. I kind of feel back in the swing of things after my 2 weeks off. I am at work. It's 7:30 and it's Sunday morning, and it's probably the best day for me to do a podcast because I feel refreshed after having a day off, because I have a Saturday off. But then I'm also excited because Sundays are a lovely day of coaching, and I have my live session that I do in my academy with my student coaches. And I've also got the September Collective Manifestation session as well for those that are doing Month to Manifest. So it's a jam-packed day, and that energizes me. And all of this is related to what I'm going to speak to you about, because when I am on holiday, I don't cope very well on holiday. I'm not great at relaxing. But then, to be fair, I've got two children, massive different ages. One's 4, one's 15. So relaxing on holiday with kids, I'm sure you can, if you've got children, you'll know it's not really relaxing anyway. But even those moments that I did get, if both kids were being entertained by the pool and I could just lie there and lie in the sun, I was restless. And there's certain things that I now know that I need on holiday, which I found out last holiday when we went over to Italy last year, and some of the restrictions were still on from the pandemic. So you had to isolate for 4 days when you arrived, and you were allowed out on the 5th as long as you'd got tested. So we were 4 days in the house in Italy. And it's fairly remote, like it's in the hills. It's not like we have neighbours or anything like that. So I decided that early in the morning, I would go out for a run. And I mean, I probably wasn't allowed, to be fair, but there was no one around apart from some dogs that followed us on the run. And if you followed us on Instagram when I've been on holiday, you'll see that the dogs are still coming on the run with us. I'm a lady that runs with dogs. So I decided that I would go out for a run just to get out, just to have time on my own, because what that meant was, is that if I hadn't have had those little running trips, that for 4 days, it was like nonstop. As soon as you get up, you're with people all day, you're with people until you go to bed. And in the house at that time was my mother-in-law, my husband, and obviously my two children, which doesn't sound a lot. And really in my head, I'm like, why can't you cope with that? Why can't you cope with being with people? But anyway, I decided that I would go for a run 2 out of those 4 days. I'm not somebody who is a natural runner. I don't necessarily, like it coming back home, it's not like I'm like, yes, I can't wait to get out for a run. I do like going to the gym, but not necessarily going out for a run outdoors. There has to be certain conditions for me to run outdoors, and normally it's like around about 24 degrees, so it doesn't happen often in the UK. But running in the morning in Italy was heaven. Like this, you get to run up hills, which doesn't sound great, but for my knees, actually it's nicer to run up hills rather than like hitting the hard floor on the flat. And I kind of broke the run up because I would go like, I think I did like a mile up the hill from the house, then a mile back down, then a mile down from the house, and then a mile back up. And I kind of broke it up. And that was like 4 miles, which I wasn't expecting to do because I hadn't ran properly in ages. For those of you who are like runners, you'd be like, that's nothing. But for those of you who aren't runners, you'd be like, oh, that's good. It's all perspective, isn't it? So I did that, and I actually found that I liked it. And although I was only doing it just to get a bit of space and just to get out of my own head by going for a run, I figured out that was something that I could do with on holiday, just to have that like 40 minutes. Maybe it's a bit longer than 40 minutes because I definitely don't do a 10 minute mile. Just to have that time on my own was brilliant, like so, so good. And what it meant was, is I felt I could give more to the day because I was energized when I came back. So I could kind of like G the kids up when I came in and, you know, do things with them, whether that's the pool outside or we were painting rocks. And, you know, we definitely made well use of the time when we were locked in. So going back on holiday this year, I said to my husband, you know, it is, I think I'm going to keep that like as part of my routine on holiday. And like, even as I say that out loud, it does sound like there's something wrong with me, doesn't it? That I need a routine on holiday. Like I need to have that thing in my day where it's just for me. And the other thing that I'd done on holiday as well was last year is I'd said, you know what? I just want 20 minutes in an afternoon when people are napping in the house or whatever, before we go out on a night time, just to read and do a meditation or a manifestation. And so that was something that, you know, we'd agreed we'd pencil in that Jude would have half an hour on an afternoon just to do that. So there's two things there that I know that I'm going to do that are going to give me energy while I'm away. So this year, obviously, we decided that that would happen again. And I'm making it sound like these are big conversations, and they're not. They're really not. It's just like, do you know what? I might go for a run, or is it all right if I still have half an hour on an afternoon? It's as simple as that. It's not a big sit-down meeting or anything with my husband. So that's what we decided to do. But what I'd kind of fell into the routine of was, yeah, the runs were still happening. That was brilliant. But on an afternoon, the thing that happened, sorry, that's my phone going off, I'm putting it on silent. The thing that happened in an afternoon was there always seemed to be something going on. Like either we'd get in late from whatever we were doing that day. So naps were like, let's quickly try and get the little one down for a nap, because this was the first year he was actually staying out. Because we used to kind of stick to his routine with him just being little. So we were like trying to get him down for his nap. And while that was happening, I would then get ready to go out. So there didn't seem to be that much time to be able to carve in that half an hour, but I hadn't noticed. And I just thought I was getting that time to myself, because while my husband was putting the little one down for a nap and my daughter was kind of chilling in her room and watching crap on Netflix and getting ready, then I was kind of doing the same. I had a podcast on and I was getting ready, and I thought that was enough. And I was really zapped with energy, I would say, kind of like towards the end of the first week and into the second week. I was really feeling it, and I thought, what am I not doing? What do I need? And so I made a conscious effort to pencil in that half an hour of reading time. And oh my God, I felt so much better. And that was just like a little bit of time just to read and switch off. Because I realized I wasn't actually switching off while I was getting ready. Because I'm sat trying to like, I don't know, do my makeup, tidy the bedroom, like do my hair, whatever. It wasn't really switching off time. But again, I only realized that end of the second week. And this is really key. The point of me telling you all of this is really, really key, because what we tend to do is lean into that low mood, low energy. And for me personally, and I know for a lot of my clients, the perception would be, oh my God, my anxiety's coming back. Like I don't have any energy. I feel overwhelmed. Like it's happening again. And you would just dip into that cycle. And that happened so much for me in my early 20s that I would lean into how my body was feeling rather than problem solving. And don't get us wrong, while I was on holiday, I was questioning it a bit, because holidays exhaust me. Like I genuinely feel physically exhausted by the whole thing, which is crazy because I know other people That's the thing that they live for, is holidays. So while I was on holiday, I thought, do you know what it is? I'm just going to Google the full symptoms of ADHD and what that is. Because I did struggle to kind of like settle and relax. And what I kind of discovered from Googling it, because I know clients who come to me and say, you know, I have been diagnosed with ADHD. So I do know the symptoms, but I thought, you know what it is? I just want to like have them in front of me and look at them. And I would say 7 out of 10, I was like, oh God, yeah, that's totally me. Now, this is the important bit, because I don't really enjoy those labels, whether it's ADHD, whether it's dyslexia, whether it's depressed. Like, I feel like we put these labels on ourselves rather than... No, I think we put the labels on ourselves and then we lean into them, and it gives us excuses as to why we are a certain way, rather than looking to problem solve. Because my head, when I kind of discovered I had 7 out of the 10 of those symptoms, I mean, I was looking at them going, oh my God, I know so many people with these. Like, any one of my clients would suffer with these symptoms. And it's a dangerous thing, putting things like that on people, because if you lean into that, you'll just feel like you can't cope because of that, when really you just haven't found the solution. And since having such severe depression in my early 20s, and then getting out of the other side of it, and knowing how amazing it truly feels to be out the other side of it, to not feel anxious, to not feel depressed, you then become solution focused on anything. Like, I don't, like, you know, if you listen to these podcast episodes, you'll know that when I work with a client, I always say, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being amazing, 0 being rubbish, where are we? And you tend to find that people who come to me sit at about a 3 or a 4. And they've always sat around that space. But when they leave me, they leave at an 8 or a 9. And an 8 or a 9 is like, oh, it's so good. 10 saved for like those days where, I don't know, you get the best news. You find out you get that job you've been going for. Or you get married. Whatever it is, it's like you couldn't be that happy every day. But an 8 or a 9 is where you should be all the time. Like, you feel excited, energized. You're passionate, you're purposeful, you're happy, you're content. Like, that's an 8 or a 9. Now, if I feel anything less than that, I question it. What's going on that's making me feel less than that? And that's all I was doing on holiday. I mean, there was, yes, I did. I'm not going to lie, there is a part of us that gets a little bit frustrated with myself, because I'm like, I should really be enjoying this. Like, I'm with my children, I'm on holiday with my husband, we have so many wonderful friends that are on holiday out there. It's so lovely, and the place where we go is beautiful. Like, there is no reason I shouldn't be enjoying it. But again, rather than me kind of taking that stick that we used to beat ourselves with, I look to problem solve, like, what do I need? Now, when I read those symptoms of ADHD, God, there's my dyslexia set in. I've realised that, yeah, okay, so I have those, and it's all well and good kind of going, all right, okay, but there's got to be a way where you go, okay, so what do I need, okay? So if you are somebody who's an introvert, then you know that you can only cope with so much conversation. You can only cope with being around people for a certain length of time, and then you need your own space to recharge your batteries. And that's all I'm looking for. I'm looking for solutions that are going to help me recharge to get me back to an 8 or a 9. Because you know what? Actually, Jude is an 8 or a 9, just way better than a 6 or a 7. Just much nicer to be around. So I'm doing that not selfishly just for me, but for also the people that I'm around, because I give way more to those people when I'm at an 8 or a 9. So if this is resonating with you, I want you to think about times in your life where you have certain triggers and certain things that bring you down. Now, with clients that come to me, the ones that probably it sticks the most is when they've had those diagnosis where people, where they've constantly went to the doctors because they're struggling with their mental health, which I'm, by the way, that's not me bashing that, absolutely go and get help. But when you're constantly told by the doctor, yes, okay, you have depression, take these tablets, we'll put you on a waiting list, you'll see a specialist, but then nothing changes, you just presume that you're always going to be like that. And that's the toughest bit for me to rewrite that story for them, to actually go, do you know what? You're not the story you tell yourself. You just haven't found the coping mechanisms. And it's a constant learning journey which everyone's on. Everyone's on a learning journey of trying to figure out what they need in life on a daily basis. And that's all it is. Like, there might be certain times of the year where you are extremely busy and you need certain high performance tools and strategies to put in place to cope with that busy period. That could be Christmas for some of us, or that could just be a heavy workload because of the way your job is. But likewise, it could be that you need coping strategies for when there's down times as well. So it's just figuring out what you need and not leaning into those labels. Because honest to God, if you told me I had ADHD when I was in my early 20s, it was well of my depression, I would have leaned into that so much that I would have just thought there was no hope for us, like there's no point, rather than becoming solution focused. Because do you know what? Those symptoms, plus the symptoms of depression, depression for me, and again, there is no research done on this. I personally believe that depression kicks in when you've been in an anxious, stressful time for longer than, I don't know, a couple of months, say. Now, that's general. I've generalized that. It really depends. You could have had stress and anxiety for years, and now it's just kicked in, and now you're depressed. And that scale, I would say, go back to my scale of 1 to 10. I would say kind of low-level stress and anxiety, you probably sit between a 4 and a 5. You're neither happy nor sad. You're just getting on with things. But when the shit hits the fan, you drop down to a 3. And a 3 is a real struggle just to get back to a 4 or a 5. And if you stay in 3 for long enough, you're going to be a 1. And a 1, I would say you're depressed and you need something to help you out of it. And that something doesn't have to be tablets. It could be that you find something new to do, like an exercise, a hobby, a book that you've read, like something that's just going to trigger you to get out of that really uncomfortable space. Yeah, depression is the most uncomfortable space because it clouds your judgment. Now, stress and anxiety, low or high levels, will cause you to feel like you've got no energy, will cause you to feel like you are low mood. And when you're in that space, that's really hard to look for solutions. So you just stay there and you wade in it. And it's like, it's really hard to get to a good point where you can see the wood for the trees. And that is sometimes where you know, medication does work because it can help you see the wood for the trees. But unless you've got that support system that's going to help you with those coping tools and this coping mechanisms. And as I say, I'm giving you those specific things from me from holiday, because not everyone, there's very, very few people I know who are like that. You know, I've got one friend stroke client, and if she listens every week, so she'll know who she is. And she will laughingly message me going, oh my God, I booked another holiday. I really couldn't stop myself. They love holidays. Like, that is when that's their re-energizing. They come together as a family. They thoroughly enjoy it. And they're reset for going back to work. Now, what I would say is that it takes me about a week to reset myself after a holiday. Now, it could be that, you know what, in time, I'll get better at it. And I'll have different things that I do on holiday that give me energy. But at the minute, and I've been like this forever, like, you know, I could have a week off not going abroad, like not going on a proper holiday and just having a holiday in the UK, just having days off. And I would still feel better when I've gone back to work because I love routine. Oh my God, I crave it. But more than anything else, I crave work. I crave having my mind occupied on something because I do have a monkey mind. I have a mind that wants to go off on a tangent and wants to do other things. So when it's harnessed and it's doing something, it performs at its very best. It's like if you were to bring a child, this is a really good example. If you were to bring a young child to a doctor's waiting room and you expect them to be quiet and not do anything, and to be on their best behavior, you're gonna have to give them something to occupy their little heads. So whether that's an iPad, whether that's reading a book, whether that's playing a little game of I Spy, you need to do something with them to occupy them. Are they going to be naughty? They're going to start climbing on stuff. They're going to start running around. That's what my brain does when it goes into the quiet mode. Then now I have had a trainer to do certain things like meditation. But even my meditation is highly focused on something because that is what my brain needs. Now, this may have not resonated with you. You may be like my other friend who's like craving holidays and you crave that downtime. I just don't need it. Like, I love to be on the go. I love to have my mind occupied, hence me being in the office at 7:30 on a Sunday when my first client's not till 9. Like, I wouldn't feel comfortable rocking up here at 8:30 because I need time to ease into it and settle into it and to make my coffee and put the radio on and just to settle in. But, you know, other people don't need that. And that is the key. That's the key here. Irrelevant of whatever label you have given yourself or been given, dig deep into who you actually are and start to get to know yourself on what you need on a daily basis to keep your head above the coping level. And not just a little bit, but to really stand above it. Like if you were to imagine when you feel like you're overwhelmed and drowning, that's you under the coping level. And there's certain things that will push you above it where you feel like, oh my God, I can breathe again. And your head's above the coping level. Now, push that even further. What else do you need so that you're standing on top of that level? Not just your head's above it, but you're actually standing on top of that coping level because that is really, really powerful. Really powerful. And there's certain things that I need to get me above that coping level. And that's work that energizes us, a real structure, a real routine, having everything within my control. And that's not... that makes me sound like a control freak, so I'm going to caveat that with, it's just simple things. I don't want to drop the ball, so I'm going to make sure that, do you know what, if my son gets an invite to a party, that not is it just in the diary, but I've then put it on my shopping list that I need to buy a kid a present. It's those little things that if I didn't add all those up and have certain structures in place, and they are high performance tools, yeah, because that is organization. That's me making sure that everything has a solution and has an action to it so that I don't feel like I can't cope. Because as soon as you feel like you can't cope, your productivity levels drop to about 20%. So it's even harder. Like I work best when I'm massively under pressure because I put in every single coping mechanism, got every high performance tool is in place. There are strategies, there's timelines, there's critical paths, there's things that I have where I start to chunk up my time and I give my time to whatever's needed. And within that, you know, it could just be like, I know as soon as the kids break up from school, that is when I start looking for uniform, whether that's the school shoes, whether that's figuring out what they need from a, you know, they may not need everything. So writing a list of what they actually do need so I can go and get it. Because do you know what? Doing it the last week, is just horrific. Like, I popped into the Metro Centre, that's the shopping centre near us, and bearing in mind the week before starting school, and I just sauntered in. What was I doing? I was going to get a cake, and because it was my son's last day in nursery, and I wanted to have a little cake for him finishing. So I went into the Merrow Centre after work and thought, why the hell is it so busy? And Clark's had a massive queue outside of it. Shoe had a massive queue outside of it. There were people, like, just, you could see stressed people. I don't ever want to be that person. So I put things in place. I don't become that person because I don't perform well at that level. So take stock of this episode. This is a real mindset episode of figuring out who you are and what you need, removing the labels, removing anything that you've put on yourself that gives you the impression you can't cope, because actually you can. Because think of the things that have happened in your life, the real shit that's hit the fan, whether that's a relationship breakdown, whether that was something in your business, whether that was somebody, a real trauma, and think about how well you coped. We do cope in those circumstances. We just don't cope when we tell ourselves we can't cope, but that's just because we haven't found the solution. So dig deep on what you need to get above that coping level, but not just a little bit above it. I want you shot beyond it, because do you know what? September is that month where we get to kind of go, do you know what? Like, the kids are back at school, or the holidays are over and done with, and now I want some change. So what does that look like, and what do I need? Leaning in and questioning what you need, what's going to be right for you, what's working, what's not working, is way more powerful than anything you'll ever do for yourself. Because you know what? The more you try to fight against your anxiety and your low mood, it's like you're feeding it and it gets bigger and it overwhelms you and it feels like you can't breathe because your chest hurts so much. And if that resonates, then you'll know that that's how it feels, because you're just feeding it. You're trying to almost run away from it and pretend that it's not there, rather than leaning in and going, right, what is it? Like, what's going on? Why is my mood not great? Like, that's a lovely, gentle way of asking yourself, what's going on? And being able to lean into that, like, it could be that, you know what, you're just sick of your job and you're not motivated anymore. And it might be that it's time for your next level of growth and that you're looking for something else. So have a good little pause point. I think September's a lovely pause point to kind of go, right, what needs to change now? Because you know what? Like, this is month 9 now. Where did I want to be in 2022? So I hope this podcast episode has absolutely landed where it's needed. And if it has, then feel free to message me on Instagram. I have had so much gorgeous feedback just in the last week of people booking in consultations with me because they've been listening to the podcast for a while and they want that next step, whether that's to become a coach themselves or whether they want coaching. And it's all come from people listening to this podcast and, as I say, landing where it needed. So if it did, drop me a message. Even if you don't want coaching or you don't want to become a coach, just drop me a message just to say, do you know what? I love that episode, if it landed where it needed, because I love to connect with the other side of this microphone. It is an absolute joy. Now, on that last episode, my iPad's just fell. Last week's episode, I said that I would be doing a live masterclass and that I would have the details. It took a bit longer than I thought to get this all pulled together. But that's because I just didn't account for how long it would take us to get back into the swing of things and seeing all my clients after 2 weeks off. And then I had Friday off because I picked up my new car. So if you've seen on Instagram, I have managed to take one thing, another thing off my vision board. which is a beautiful, beautiful feeling. So yeah, so it took us a bit longer than I anticipated to share this with you. So my live masterclass is on the 29th of September. I'm going to be doing it at 8 p.m. You can sign up the link in the show notes, or if you head to my Instagram, the link will be in my bio there as well. And the live masterclass is going to be sharing with you everything on how to become a life coach. So what you need, what certification you need, how much you can earn, how you can overcome your own limiting beliefs so that you can coach other people, leaning into who you are as a person and what you've been through so that you can help other people through that. Just if you have a burning desire to help other people, or you want to do something that feels more aligned to who you are or what you've been through, or if you want something that is a bit of a side hustle, something where you can earn some money by working in your spare time as a coach, then please do sign up to the masterclass. I would love to see you on there. As soon as you sign up, you'll be linked to Facebook Messenger, and I will share all the details with you in there, and you'll get a notification when I'm going live, and there'll be times for question and answers and be able to talk with you all on that masterclass as well. So yeah, I would love to see you on there. And then next week's episode, I'm going to answer a few of the questions that have come in. It's just going to be an episode totally dedicated to the questions for the podcast that have came in the last few weeks that I've just not had a chance to get to. So if you do have another question, feel free to send it over to my Instagram and I can answer it in that episode. Have a great week, everyone, getting back into the swing of things. September starting with an absolute bang, but more importantly, with purpose. Thank you so much for listening to the Unbreakable Mindset podcast with me, your host, Jude Daunt. If you have enjoyed this episode, then please do share with others. And it would mean a huge deal to me if you would rate, review, follow and subscribe on your podcast app. This will allow the podcast to keep growing and going to new audiences. And if you want to know all the ways in which you can work with me directly, please visit judedauntcoaching.co.uk. The links will be in the show notes.